You know, that hymn pretty much tells it all right there. I mean, in Christ I stand. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. It's found in the book of 1 John. That's toward the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6. This is 1 John chapter 4. And reading verses 1 to 6. And hear now the word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, I've been amazed lately at how many of the old television shows are coming back on some of these streaming services, and people are able to watch television shows that played first in the 1950s, sometimes the 1960s. And this is making a tremendous revival. People are watching these on the streaming networks. Very interesting. You know, the older shows tended to portray more of what we would call American values, those things that caused our country to be great and to be strong. You know, Annie and I have been watching The Real McCoys. And we just love The Real McCoys. Walter Brennan is such a character. But it's just fun to watch it because so many of the things that he teaches or what he exhibits in dealing with his family are truly biblical. Not that he gives credit to God, but the principles that he lays out are truly biblical principles. You know, there was a time when the studios would make either movies or shows that would portray the heart of America. And it would teach the young people or the people watching them, this is what we hold to, this is what we believe as Americans. And one such value that was portrayed consistently was the value of telling the truth. It was important to tell the truth. And so they would portray this. You know, you may remember that there were game shows that focused on this. In fact, any of you remember the game show To Tell the Truth? Well, that was a big one. Began back in 1956, and the host was Bud Collier. But we haven't heard that name in a long time. Bud Collier was the host. It ran for 9 seasons. And, you know, in this, they would have 3 different individuals who would stand up, and each one would claim to be a certain person. Then the panel had to ask questions to try to determine who it was that was telling the truth. That was a big one. You know, big one. Another show that was very popular was Truth or Consequences. And some of you remember that. That was Bob Barker before he got on Price is Right. Bob Barker was the head of that show. And the underlying principle of that show was that if you didn't tell the truth, then you had to face certain consequences. And you'll remember they would ask the contestants a question, and they would have 2 minutes to answer that question. They had a big clock in there, and the clock's name was Bertha. I don't know if you remember that. But you could see that clock ticking, and the people would be scrambling, trying to get the right answer, but typically it would be such a crazy answer that nobody could ever get it. If they did get it, then Bob Barker would say, well, that's one part of the question, but the other part, he would keep doing that until they lost and they would have to face the consequence. And the consequence was always some crazy thing that they would have to do, and it would make the audience laugh and make the people at home watching on television laugh. And that was the whole nature of the show. But the principle behind all that was that if you don't tell the truth, there are consequences. You're going to have consequences for not telling the truth. You know, this is a major problem today in what we face today, because our society has gotten to the point where people will not tell the truth and there are no consequences for it. You know, we're moving in our culture, in our society, toward anarchy. We're moving toward a time when people totally ignore the law, they ignore society's judgments, and they just do whatever it is that they want to do. From top to the bottom in our society, people are doing as they please with no concern for what's called the rule of law. You know, you probably heard that term recently, the rule of law. What really is the rule of law? Well, I wanted to be exact on this, and so I looked that up. And the rule of law, this is the definition of it. It's an ideal that all citizens and institutions within a country, state, or community are accountable to the same laws, including lawmakers and leaders. Now, I didn't write that. I don't want people to judge me for that. That's not what I said. That's the definition of rule of law. And what it means is that we all stand on common ground in this nation because we hold to a rule of law through our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And that is that everybody is to be judged exactly by the same standard. In fact, if you look at the Department of Justice, you know at the top there's a statue, and the statue is justice blindfolded with a set of scales in front. And what that means is that justice is equal for all people. We all stand beneath the law. And I know we have issues right now that we can bring up, and we're not going to. But I don't have to, because you know them. You know that there are issues right now where things are not being dealt with fairly. They're not being dealt with on a level ground. This is the result of us removing God from our culture. We've removed God from our schools, so our children are no longer hearing the fact that there is an absolute authority that they have to bow to. It's been removed from our judicial system. It's been removed from our executive system. It's been removed from our legislature. It's been removed. And now people feel free to do exactly as they want to do with no consequence. You see, when there's no longer absolute truth, then everything becomes situational. And what that means is that you make a judgment based on the need of that moment. It's called situational ethics. It's been around for a long time. But what it means is that if it's more beneficial to tell a lie, then you tell a lie. You don't tell people the truth because, do you remember that movie with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson? And Jack Nicholson screamed out, "You can't handle the truth." Well, we didn't realize it, but that was a judgment against our whole nation. People feeling like, no, you can't handle the truth, so I'm going to lie to you, tell you what you want to hear, and there won't be any consequences at all. Situational ethics. You know, in essence, we become very much like Israel. When Israel, back in Judges, in the book of Judges, we read, this is Judges chapter 17, verse 6, and it says this: "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." When we don't have a strong, godly leader at the helm of our nation, people feel the freedom to do exactly what they want to do, and there are no consequences. That's where we're going. And this affects our view of God as Christians, as believers, because we have to look around and say, "Lord, why are these things going on? Why aren't these people having to own up to the wrong that they've done? Where's the justice in any of this?" Without absolute truth, how can we really know who God is? You know, God becomes a fantasy. He becomes a myth. Some of you may be familiar with the fact that just several weeks ago, in fact, it was on June the 6th, Arnold Schwarzenegger was being interviewed. All of you know who he is. Arnold Schwarzenegger was being interviewed. And I'm going to read a quote from that interview. It says, "According to Schwarzenegger, death marks the ultimate end, and there is no existence beyond that point. The 75-year-old actor strongly asserted that Christians who say otherwise are liars." He said, "There is no heaven, there is no hell, and there is no God." I'd hate to be in his shoes. He's not a young man. I'd hate to be in his shoes when he stands before an almighty God. But you know, nothing's further from the truth. There is a God. Many act as if there is no God. Some of you are familiar with a German theologian philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche is the one that basically said, "God is dead. There is no more God." Nietzsche was the son of a Presbyterian minister in Germany. He said, "There is no God is dead. God is dead." And I think I mentioned this one time to you, but when I lived in New York and I used to ride subways, underneath in one of the subways, somebody had spray painted in black spray paint, "God is dead," and signed it Nietzsche. And next to it, somebody with red spray paint painted, "Nietzsche is dead," and signed it God. I wish I'd taken a picture of it. I've seen it mentioned in other times, but I was able to see that, and I thought, that's good. That's really good. But all these things are happening, and you know, none of this comes as a surprise to God. God knew all this. He knew the heart of men. He knew what would happen. And that's why in Psalm 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 4, but this is God's Holy Spirit speaking through David, and he said, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision." None of this comes as a shock to God. God knew that the heart of men, and he knew that men would do this. He knew that men would raise their fists against him and shake their fists at him and say, "You know, this, you don't even exist. We don't need you anymore. We're going to remove you from our schools. We're going to remove you from our government. We're going to remove you from our homes. And those people that we value and hold up are going to say, 'You don't even exist anymore,' and we'll listen to them." He who sits on high laughs. You know, so all these years, over all these years, from the back as far as we can remember, what's been our source of truth as a nation? Where have we gone to hear the truth? You know, for generations, we've depended on mainstream media, on certain individuals, and we've all had favorites over time. You know, it could have been Walter Winchell back many years ago, or it could have been Edward R. Murrow. You remember, he used to have a show. TV commentators like Walter Cronkite or Huntley Brinkley, or there are many of them. We could go on and on. And these are the individuals that we would listen to, and we would weigh and evaluate what they had to say. And for the most part, we would believe it because they're important people, and they have a handle on the news. And so we believed that they were telling the truth. But over time, we started to see, that doesn't just seem right. Something isn't right there. We're not being told the whole story. Something isn't true. We could see this shift moving away from the truth. And we're reporting the so-called news ended up being more opinion than it was actual news. In fact, many of the stations, instead of saying news, they would say news and commentary. Well, it wasn't so much the news, but the commentary that was dangerous because it added their own perspective. And so they could prejudice people unfairly by not telling them the whole story, by not giving them accurate reporting. The emphasis was more on shaping the opinion of the world. But you know, a lot of that's changed with the coming of the internet. And without a doubt, everything on the internet is not valuable. It's not all truth. It's not all good. There's a lot on the internet that you have to read with skepticism, without a doubt. But we should always do that. Now we have cable networks. We've got the internet. We've got social media. All these things coming together, playing together to give us facts and to give us news about things. Well, through all of this, we have a better opportunity, I believe, to understand the truth. So many of the things that were called conspiracy theories years ago have proven now to be true. I've been shocked because information came out about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was released that one way or another, our government had a hand in John Kennedy's assassination. I'm not making this up. I'm not the one saying it. This has been released to the general public over our news outlets, and nobody says anything. And it makes you wonder, well, what else has happened that we've not been told the truth about? That the truth has been covered up. You can't handle the truth. Wow. Makes us wonder. So how can we recognize what the truth is? Truth is essential in maintaining a society. It's essential for us here, living in the United States, whether we're Christians or not Christians. It's essential. Truth is essential for us to make the decisions that we need to make for our country to be strong. Our founding fathers recognized this, and in their documents included the emphasis on truth. There has to be truth. There has to be freedom of speech where people can question and people can determine what is true and what's not true. A dialogue, if you will. They recognized God's hand was important in sustaining us as a nation. And so many of the actions that they took were based on scripture. They were based on God's word. They realized that God was the one that held truth in his hand, not men. And the only way that we could really know the truth was by submitting to him and surrendering to him and calling on his name when a decision had to be made and asking him for wisdom and for guidance, which they did repeatedly in Congress and through the different committees and whatever that were making the laws for our country. Truth is, though, over time, we begin to turn away from God's truth. So, you know, how can you tell now what's truth and what's not truth? When I was at a pastor out in Colorado Springs, one of the men in my congregation was an individual by the name of Lamar Allen. And Lamar Allen was a phenomenal individual. He was one of five scientists that designed NORAD there in Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs. He was a phenomenal individual. And he worked with the U.S. government in determining the validity of speech. He did this for years. And they had a program that would analyze speeches and political statements to try to determine what part of that was solid truth and what part of that was propaganda. We don't like to think that we hear propaganda, but we do constantly. And part of this program was to try to determine what was actual solid truth and what was just propaganda that was out there. And they found out that most politicians, when they speak, are somewhere around 40%. 40% truth and 60% propaganda. Now, that's just the way the politicians would communicate. They would try to excite the people or say things or whatever. But about 40% of what they had to say was absolute truth. And the interesting thing is, what they used as their standard was the Bible. Now, this is a government agency. But they found that the Bible was 95% truth and 5% propaganda. I'm not sure where they got the 5%. But anyway, 95% was truth. And they used that as their standard to judge everything else that was being said. Well, that's the speeches, the statements, everything. And I'm sure that if it was done today, it would be a lot lower for the politicians and for the others. And the sad truth is that if we are to continue to exist as a nation, we have to deal with this. We have to return to a biblical standard of truth here in our nation. There has to be a way where we can hear and understand what the bottom line is, what is actually the truth in the situations that we're dealing with. You know, the word truth in the Bible is the word aletheia or aletheia. And what it means literally is reality. It means it's the real thing. That's why Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He is the truth. He is the real thing. He's the absolute real thing. Everything else has to be held up against him and against what he says, because he is the truth. And unless we have a handle on that in our lives, and unless we're calling on Jesus as our Lord, how can we negotiate what we're dealing with even today? We can't fight the enemy if we're trying to keep a foot in both camps. We have to suddenly wake up and realize, well, wait a minute now. These things aren't right. I'm not hearing the truth anymore. Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear and a mind to process this so that I know what the truth is, so that I can make decisions that affect my life. We can't fight the enemy unless we know the truth. And the bottom line is that when we stand in the truth, God stands with us. God will help us. You know, there are decisions that we have to make that are not popular. As Christians, we have to take stands against things that the world is saying, this is perfectly fine. You know, California passing a bill that's saying that children can be aborted up until the time of birth. And we should stand by and say, well, I guess that's their choice. New Mexico saying you can go 24 days after birth and it's still considered an abortion. I'm sorry, that's considered murder. When we stand for the truth, God stands with us. It may not be popular. We may suffer for it. But what more can we do as believers and followers of Jesus than to stand on the truth? So, you know, really, bottom line, what can we do? We're a small congregation in Asheville. We're just individuals. What kind of power, what kind of authority do we have? Bottom line, we're facing evil forces that want nothing more than to destroy us. They want to destroy our families. They want to destroy our children. They want to destroy our lives. I'm not making this up. You know I'm telling you the truth. But the problem is we can't build on a cracked foundation. And if we're listening to these lies, oh, well, they have fact checkers now. They're fact checkers. Who are these fact checkers? You know, there's a page on the internet that shows you who some of these fact checkers really are, and it's laughable. They're not checking the truth. Our survival as a nation is really at stake. This is reality, folks. And I don't mean to be the prophet of doom, but I have to say that unless we as believers wake up and begin to pray for our nation, to begin to pray for discernment, for wisdom, to know how to handle these things, then we're going to fall. Like a person said, he who doesn't stand for anything will fall for everything. So what should we do? I think the first thing that we need to do is to pray and ask the Lord to give us a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of truth, so that when we hear things, if it's not the truth, a flag goes up and says, that's not right. That's not the way it is. We need to ask the Lord for that wisdom, because he says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's his promise. We need to ask the Lord for that spirit of truth so that we can discern. We need to support those that are speaking the truth. You know, people come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and there may be certain personality traits that we don't like, and so we'll cast the person out. I don't like the way he talks to people, and so we won't have anything to do with him. But we need to be asking ourselves, is he speaking the truth? And if so, we need to listen. We need to follow. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for those individuals that are trying to work behind the scenes to destroy the very fabric of this nation. We need to pray for the United States of America. This is our home. This is where we live. We need to pray for those who are in positions of power and authority, that God puts his heavy hand on them when they lie, that he reveals their lie, and that he causes them to repent. It's not unusual for us to do this. This is what God has called all of his children to do from the very beginning, and that is to stand for the truth. Don't listen to the lie. Follow those who are proclaiming the truth, and don't give in. You know, I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. I don't believe that God is finished with the United States of America. I don't think he's going to allow us to be overcome or our nation to be overturned. I don't believe it because of the history of our country, of what we've seen God do in the past. But I believe it's going to take us as Christians praying and calling on the Lord to give the Lord the freedom to work in our lives and in the lives of others so that we can see these things accomplished. It's important. It's important. I really want us to begin praying that God gives us wisdom and that he gives us as believers a spirit of truth so that we can distinguish the truth from the lie. It's critical. We need to return to a time when we submit and humble ourselves before the Lord as a nation. I've prayed for years that God would revisit us with a great revival, like he did in the 1700s and the 1800s, and we're long overdue. Should have happened around the middle of the 1900s, but it didn't. And I think we need to pray that God sweeps this nation with a revival and causes us to come back to him as our Lord. He is our only hope. To tell the truth, it's essential. Let's bow and pray. Gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful to you that you've placed us in a world of darkness, but you've given us a light, and that light is your word, and your word is truth. I pray, Father, that we would hunger for you and that we would hunger for your truth above all things. We ask, Lord, that you would grant us wisdom, a spirit of truth, that when we hear things that are lies, that a flag would go up and say, that is not true. Father, I pray and ask that you would protect us as your people and keep us close to you, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please stand and turn to number 86. Great is thy faithfulness. We'll sing the first two verses now and the third one after the benediction. Number 86.
Bow for the benediction. And now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.